This morning's sermon is called He Who Is From Heaven Is Above All. From the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 31 through 36, as we continue to go through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Last Sunday, we left off on verse 30, with John the Baptist telling his followers, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. He's telling his followers, more of him, less of me. These are the last recorded words from John the Baptist until prison. We pick up this morning in verse 31 with the Apostle John writing his word. We switch from John the Baptist now to the Apostle John. So verse 30 last week, now verse 31. The Apostle John wrote in verse 31, He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. The Apostle John wants us to know that Jesus came down from heaven, and therefore he is above all. And that we should listen to Jesus and follow him because of who he is and that he's from a different place. He's from heaven, not of the earth. That Jesus' origin is that he descended from heaven. John wants us to know that he has come from above. John wrote this in the first chapter of this book in verse 14. He said that the Word, Jesus, became flesh, took on human form, and dwelt, lived among us, and we beheld, John said, which means we saw his glory as the glory as the only begotten of the Father, he wrote, full of grace and truth. That was back in chapter 1, verse 14. John's message to us, the eternal God himself has come down from heaven. He has become flesh and he's lived among us. This is what the Apostle John is writing about. He has come down from heaven, the invisible God made visible. Emmanuel, God with us. The Creator has become part of his creation. And why? That he may save sinners from their sin, death, judgment, and eternal hell. I think this is echoing here. I don't know if you guys hear that. I don't know if this mic is on. I'm sorry to. That probably would be a little annoying listening to me echoing. John wants us to know Jesus came down from heaven to seek and save the lost. John wants us to know that. In his book, he tells us that he came down from heaven to offer us salvation through him, through Jesus. And John also wants us to know that he who is of the earth speaks about the things of the earth. His viewpoints, his experience, he wants us to know, they're earthly. He says, earthly men are limited to earthly things, he says. But Jesus, he's from above. He's from a different place. He is from heaven. John wants us to know that. That he's not earthly. He comes from a different place. His origin is heaven. He's descended and come down from heaven. Even the greats in the Bible, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Elijah, Samuel, Isaiah, Daniel, David, Ezekiel, even John the Baptist, they were earthly men and were limited to earthly things. But John wants us to know, not Jesus. He comes from above. John the Baptist was great, but he told his followers that he must decrease, as we read last week. He must become less because he was of the earth and he belonged to the earth. Although John the Baptist called for repentance and baptism, he could not reveal heaven's counsel like Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. John wrote, Jesus is from above, and he is above all things. Jesus isn't like you and me. He's from above, right? The Bible tells us that Jesus created all things, and he holds all things together. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul wrote, he said, for by him, Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth. He writes, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist, the Apostle Paul writes to the Colossians, which means Jesus, he's telling us, he holds all things together. Jesus holds all things together. Let's take a look at our next verses. Verses 32 and 33, the Apostle John continues, and he writes, and what he, Jesus, has seen and heard, right? First-hand witness, right? He said, what he has seen and what he has heard, that he testifies. And no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. John wants us to know, not only is Jesus from above and much higher than man, so are the words that he speaks. So are his words that he declares. His testimony that he brings down from heaven is true. The Apostle John is telling us his words, his testimony is far superior than anyone else's words. John wants us to know this. He's not earthly. He's from above, right? Jesus' words are firsthand, he says. He said, what he has seen, Jesus, and heard, he testifies. He was in heaven. John wants us to know this, that he came down from heaven. He has a full grasp of heaven, right? He has a full knowledge of heaven. And this is why we can believe him, because of who he is and where he comes from. Now, you notice that John writes in this verse here, he says, and no one receives his testimony. Now, we read that and say, well, that's not true. We believe. Well, look what John writes next, right after that. He said, he who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. John is saying, verse 32, that's about unbelievers. But verse 43 is about those who do believe. Those who have received his testimony and declare that God is true, right? He is the way, the truth, and the life, right? John writes 14:6, saving belief, saving faith in the Son of God. Those in Christ, he's talking about verse 33, right? Those who hear the word, right? Parable of the sower, those who hear the word, they accept it, they receive it, and they bear fruit in Jesus' name. Right? What does he write? He said, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. That's in Mark 4:20. Let's take a look at verse 34 and 35. Verse 34 and 35, the Apostle John writes this, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Wow. The Father's given all things into the Son's hand. I want you to look very carefully at verse 34. Look at verse 34. Did you notice that the full triune Godhead is involved in this verse right here? The full triune Godhead is mentioned right here in this verse. Listen to this. Look at this. For he, Jesus, whom God, the Father, has sent speaks the word of God, for God does not give the Spirit, there's the Holy Spirit, right, by measure or without limits. And again, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hand. All three persons in the triune Godhead were involved when God the Father, listen, sent forth the Son. All three were involved when God the Father sent forth God the Son to come save us, redeem us, reconcile us back to God through Him. Through Him. You know, He came to bring the Father's word to the world, to proclaim the Father's message to the world. And the Father, as we read, He gave the Spirit to His Son without measure, without limits. I give it all to you, Son. Go into the world. Go forth. That's the gospel right there. God sent forth His Son to come save us. And He gave Him all the Spirit without limits. Hallelujah. God's message to the world right here. Here's how you get to heaven. Here's how you can have eternal life. Here's how you can get adopted into God's family. It's all right here. God's testimony of the truth. God's word. The Bible tells us exactly how one becomes saved. The Bible tells us exactly how one becomes born again. Right? Faith. Listen, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Right? Romans 10:17, right? Faith, you got to understand it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. If you're not in the scriptures, it's going to be hard for you to have faith. It's going to be hard for you to have saving faith. Faith comes through God's word. Listen, if you brought your Bible with you this morning, I want you to, speaking of this, if you brought your Bible with you this morning, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. This is a very powerful passage about hearing God's word. Paul's going to tell us exactly how one comes to Christ and becomes saved, right here in this passage. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll let you get there for a minute. You can maybe pew Bibles if you don't have your Bible with you. Ephesians chapter 1. This passage that I'm going to share with you this morning, I want you to study it. I want you to meditate on it. This is how one becomes saved, right here. The Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians. Ephesians, we're going to go down to verse 11 through 14. This is one of those passages you've got to read really slow and let God speak to you. Ephesians 1, verse 11 through 14. You guys get there. I'll give you another couple seconds here. This is an amazing passage, by the way. This is exactly how you became saved, right here. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes. Verse 11. In Him, Jesus Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him, God, who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Look at verse 12. Paul writes that we, he's talking about the apostles there, okay? That's important to understand. He's not talking about you and I. He says that we, the apostles, who first trusted in Christ, he says. We, the apostles, who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of His glory. Listen to this. In Him, Jesus Christ, you also trusted. When? He tells us right here. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, Jesus, also, listen, having believed, you were sealed by the, with, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Right? Who, the Spirit, is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, God's elect, the saved, to the praise of His glory. That's how you, let me break this down for you. After you heard the word of truth, okay? After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, okay? You believed. You truly believed. There's a lot in that one word, believe. Okay? You truly believed in Jesus Christ, and you placed your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone. Okay? Therefore, as the scripture says, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Hallelujah. It goes back to what Paul tells us in Romans 10. Hearing comes by hearing the word of God. Faith, he says, comes by hearing the word of God. He writes to the Ephesians, you heard the gospel and you believed it. And you put all your faith and trust in Christ that it's true. And he says, and the Holy Spirit sealed you. And one day he's going to redeem you as his possession and take you home to be with him. It's amazing. That is a powerful. And now listen, and now you live out your life by faith. In Christ, not in anybody else. We're saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Not of works. God said, lest anyone boast that they got their salvation through themselves. You know what God said? I saved you. And I saved you for my glory. You didn't do it. You came to me with all your heart. And I saved you, says the Lord. Powerful. Right? And Apostle John, back to our passage. Study that and show other people that passage, Ephesians. Very powerful. That's how one becomes saved. Right? The Father also in our passage said the Father loves the Son. He's given, listen to this in our passage, right? You still have it up there, verse 35. Listen, right? Look at the end of that verse 35, right? The Father loves the Son and has given, look what's the next word? All things. Not some things. The Father's given all things into His hand, into Jesus' hand, including all those in Christ. The Father's given to the Son, all those in Christ, all those that belong to Him. I've given them to you. In chapter 6 of this book, which we'll get to in a few years, we'll get there, chapter 6. We're taking our time here. Listen to what Jesus, our Lord, said concerning this. This is an amazing passage, too. I'm just going to read it to you. You can check it out. It's in John 6, 37 through 40. Jesus said this. All, he starts out, all, which goes with our passage. All that the Father, listen to me. All that the Father gives to me will come to me. That's what he says. That's what Jesus, our Lord, says. He says, hey, listen, all that the Father gives to me, they will come to me. You don't count on it. Jesus said it in the scriptures. Look at what he says. And Jesus said, and the one who comes to me, listen to what he says right here. And the one that comes to me, Jesus said, by no means will I cast him out. You cannot lose your salvation. Don't let anyone ever tell you that. Jesus said, the one who the Father has given to me will come to me, and by no means will I ever cast him out. The Father has given him to me, or given her to me. By no means will I ever cast them out. They're mine. This is powerful. Look at, listen to what Jesus said. Just like we're reading in our passage, look what he writes in, well, you don't have your Bible, I'm sorry. Verse 38, he says, for I came down from heaven. Just like we're reading about in our passage today. He says, Jesus says, I came down from heaven, And he said, this is not to do my own will. He says, but to do the will of him who sent me, the Father. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all, he says, Jesus says again, all he has given to me. Listen to what Jesus said. I shall lose none of them. I will not lose one of them that the Father has given me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone, he writes, who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And listen to what Jesus says at the end. And I will raise him up in the last day. I will raise them up in the last day, those who belong to me, who are in Christ. That's powerful. Jesus, our Lord, these are his words to us, speaking into our hearts. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast them out. They will belong to me forever. Even when they fall and stumble and sin, I'm faithful. I will not cast them out. Listen to what Jesus said in that same chapter, verse 44. This is powerful too. Jesus said, no one can come to me. Listen. No one can come to me. Jesus is saying, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him to me. No one can come to me unless the Father draws them to me. And he says again, Jesus repeats it again, and I will raise him up in the last day. Just in case you didn't hear what I said up here, I'm going to tell you again. I will raise you up in the last day. This is a promise from the Lord. No one can come to me, he says, unless the Father gives them to me. The Father has given you to me, says the Lord. That's powerful. Incredible. Let's go ahead. We'll go on to our passage. We'll jump back into verse 36. It's our final passage. A final verse, I mean. The Apostle John continues in verse 36. He writes this: he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Amen, amen, amen. Let's read that again. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. Amen. I like that in your Bible. This isn't so good, the next line, though. And he who does not believe. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life. Uh-oh. That's not good. He who does not believe in me, says the Lord, shall not see life. But listen. It even gets worse, right? But the wrath of God abides on him. Verse 36 tells us that Jesus will have the final word about our lives. He will get to say who gets in and who doesn't. The Father has given the Son all authority to judge the living and the dead. Jesus is the one who says who gets in and who doesn't. He who believes and trusts in the Lord and receives him as Lord of their life and Savior has eternal life. But he who does not believe and the Son, and chooses to reject him, disobey him, deny him, will not see eternal life. But instead, the wrath of God abides on him. You know what abides on him means? God's wrath is continually on him. Abides on him means hangs over him or her continually. Not a good place to be. Not a good place to be. But he who does believe has eternal life in me, says the Lord. Now remember, the purpose of the Apostle John writing this book, this is important for you to understand, is to convince his readers that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Son of the living God. He's God in the flesh. And by believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name. This is why John is writing this gospel to the world. He wants you and I to know that everything he writes about Jesus Christ is true, and by believing in him, you may have eternal life in his name. This is why he writes his gospel. He was with Jesus Christ, the Lord. He's an eyewitness. He is an original apostle. He was with Jesus Christ. And he wants you to know that everything I write is true. And by believing, you may have eternal life in Christ's name. Before we close and take communion, listen to what the Apostle John wrote in his first epistle. First epistle 1 through 4. Listen to what he wrote, speaking of being an eyewitness. He wrote, "That which was from the beginning, which we, the apostles, have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled," the Lord, "concerning the word of life," that's Jesus Christ, "the life was shown, manifested, and we seen, and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested to us." John is saying, I'm an eyewitness of this. He says, "That which we have seen," he's saying again, he's repeating again, in case you didn't hear me, right? We see this a lot in the scriptures, right? In case you didn't hear me, or you glazed over that verse, I'm going to tell you again. "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you." Right? That you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship, he writes, is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And he says, "And these things we write, these things that we write to you, we write to you that your joy may be full." I write this for you. That's powerful. I wrote this for you. The Holy Spirit wrote it through me, right? Powerful. Amen? All right, let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning, right into our hearts with these powerful verses, Lord. So powerful, so true, so convicting. We thank you, Lord, so much for this. We ask you, Lord, that you continue to put on our heart to search the scriptures, to learn more and more about you, to study your word. We know that all we need, Lord, is your presence and your word to get us through each and every day. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.